Well, Katsav, welcome back to another in our ongoing series of Shiurim and Daf Yomi. We are now beginning the final parak of Masechet Yevamot, which continues on the theme and topic of reports that a husband has died and how that affects the wife, the Yevamah, etc. And we are at the beginning of Daf Kuf Yod Tet Amud Aleph. In Yirtzeh Hashem, this chapter will be completed over the course of 3 podcasts, at which time we will celebrate with the Siyum. As some of you may have noticed, I've already begun podcasting Masechet Ketubot, and therefore Ketubot will always be about a week ahead, if not more, of the international schedule. In any case, the Mishnah: Haisha shalach bala vit saratalim dinat hayam. So a woman's husband and her co-wife, meaning his other wife, went off to Medinat Hayam. Uval v'yamru lameit ba'alech. And the report comes back that the husband has died. We know nothing about the other wife. Lo kinasei v'lo tidaben. She can't get married. Why can't she marry? Because they have no children, and the husband died. If the husband died as is, with no children, then she has to have Yibum. V'lo tidaben, and she also can't have Yibum. Why? Because perhaps the Sarah became pregnant and had a child, and therefore she cannot have Yibum. Ach tida shema mu'beret tzarata. Until she finds out, because, and we'll see if there's any automatic time lag on this, that perhaps that Sarah was pregnant. Now, haitala chamot. Let's do a different case. Let's say that she has a mother-in-law, and she has no brothers-in-law. In other words, her husband is an only child, and her husband goes off with the Sarah, and there's also a mother-in-law who went and traveled with him. Eina chosheshet. There's no reason to be concerned that the chamot, the mother-in-law, became pregnant and had a child who would be this guy's brother, and then when the guy died, there's a brother for her to fall to. If there was no brother when she left, and when the husband left, then if the husband dies, she can marry out. Yatzdam malay achosheshet. However, Tanakama says that if the mother-in-law went on the trip pregnant, then she does have to be worried. Rishur mer in achosheshet. Rishur says even in that case, not achosheshet. Good, so let's take a look. Parenthetically, in the middle of the Mishnah, in explaining the reason for the first rule, it says, perhaps that Sarah is pregnant. My hit Sarata, so Gemara asks why that language. That's teaching us that you only have to be choshesh if that Sarah. You don't have to worry that the husband in the meantime married another woman, and she's pregnant, and had a child, etc., etc. So in other words, it's only this tzarah. So for instance, if he had a circumstance where the tzarah was beyond the age, or for some other reason was not capable of getting pregnant, then you would not have any concern. Or if the husband went off alone, you would not have any concern that he married another woman and had a kid with her, and therefore she's not able to have yibum. Right, good. So now, loti nasev loti tzabein. We said in that case she could do neither. So Bishnoi Vumilo, I understand why she can't have Yibum. Dilma mi Abra, perhaps that Sarah is pregnant. The Kapaga Be'eshrachto Raita. And what's going to happen? If this woman accepts Yibum from her brother, where really her dead husband had a son because the Sarah was pregnant, then she's violating Eshrach. Elorotina say Amai. But why can't she marry out? Let's think about it. Halecha Charov Nashim. Why don't we just follow the norm, which is most women, rov nashim mitabrot, viyodot, most women who are married, are able to get pregnant and to give birth. The husband had a tzarah, who we're now going to assume for argument's sake was a new wife, and they went off. Chances are pretty good that she became pregnant and had a child. That's the rov. So, leimah rav meir, he dechayis lemiyuta, so it must be, we could argue that our mission is authored by rav meir, who is choshesh lemiyut, which means rav meir takes into account even a minority probability in calculating how we have to deal with the halacha. So since there is a possibility that Sarah also didn't get pregnant, therefore she can't marry out. Now, afilu tekan Rabbanan. The answer here is, even Rabbanan who disagrees with me or may agree here. He asked the Rabbanan about the Ruba. When do the Rabbanan say that you have to follow only Rove? The Ruba, the Ite, come on. That's when the Rove, when all of the pieces are in front of us, and we can make a demonstrable probability calculation. Zon, Tesha Chaniot, like the famous case of the 10 stores, none of which sell kosher meat. You find meat on the street, you follow the road. The Sanhedrin. Well, Ruba de Leita Kaman, when you have a rove where the players are not in front of us. So lo Azra Banabatruva, then they don't follow the rove, and therefore they will agree that Yafi Khoshish Lamiyut for the possibility that this woman did not get pregnant, and therefore the woman who is still stuck at home may indeed still be Zakar because of Kukul Evil and can't marry out. Is that really true? The case of a katana uktana, ruba de ita kaman, leita kaman, it essentially means, literally, a rove that's in front of us and a rove that's not in front of us. But what it means halachically is a rove where all of the pieces are in front of us and we can calculate and see that 60%, 70% go in a particular way. As opposed to a rove of behavior, or a rove of eventualities. Which it's in front of us until they play out. So, for instance, we know that most kids grow up to be normal, fertile children, normal, fertile adults. Good. So now we see that when it comes to a katana tana, which is a ruba deleta kaman, v'az rabban mataruba. Nonetheless, even there, the rabban followed the road. The tanya katana tana lo chotzin v'lo miyabin. We had this earlier. A katana tana, according to Rameir, says that they cannot do chalitz or yibum. Amalor Meir, so Rabbanan said, Yafeh Amarta She'in Cholzin. We understand why they can't do Chalitza, because Ish Ketiva Parsha, right, then Kachay Asela Isha Shele Vet Beit Achiv, so the Nechwat has to be an Ish, an adult. Mapshir Nisha Lish, and we understand also that you're comparing her to him, and therefore she also will be Yegudolah. Lamata Min Miyabmin. But why can't they have Yibum? After all, Yibum, you don't need that, and Yibum doesn't say Ish about it. They didn't say Ish in either case. Amalahem Katan, Shani Matse Sari. So Meir said back, the reason I say a Katan cannot do Yibum is because he may eventually turn out to be a Saris, which means he was not Omid the Yibum, and then violating a Shirach. Tana, the same thing, Shamati Matse Azumit. So maybe the Tana will turn out to be infertile, and then she was Ptuah. So, and now, by the way, those things are both highly unlikely, and yet they do happen. And therefore, Ibn Su Pogim be Erva. Right? Rabban Savi, Zobata Rubat, the Tanim, Rav Tanim, Rav Sirusin, Inu. Zobata Rav Tanim, Rav Tanim, Rav Island, Inu. Rabban simply say, you follow the Rav. And the Rav of boys is they turn out not to be a Saris, Rav of girls, they turn out to be an Ironite. And so here we have a Rubat, the Leita Kaman. The Rav is not in front of us, it's a Rav of eventualities, not of demonstrable quantities. And nonetheless, the Rabbanan still say, we follow the Rav, and the Rav of Tanim turned out to be okay, so we do Yibum with the Katan, it's fine. El Michbar to not need to do Rameir, so we must say that our Mishnah is offered by Rameir and only Rameir, meaning that the Rabbanan would not agree that the woman cannot marry. The Rabbanan will say, since the Rav of the women get pregnant and have children, and that live, therefore the Tzalah, when she went off with the husband, we assume by now she's already had a child, and therefore when you find out the husband died, you can marry out. That's what Rabbanan would say. Now, the Mayu came to Reb Meir. You're claiming that that the Mishnah is Reb Meir. Ema Seifa, look at the end of the Mishnah. Haitala Chamot Eina Choseshet. If she has a mother-in-law, she doesn't have to be Choshes. And remember, their husband had no brothers. The husband went off at Tzara, and the word is the husband died. But if the mother-in-law went off with them also, or went off somewhere else, we don't have to be worried that the mother-in-law had a son in the meantime, and therefore she's Kukal Liyavam. If it's Rameir, Rameir should say, I am Choshesh for that, because I'm Choshesh Lemiyut. Amei, Halechacha Rov Nashim, why don't we follow the Rov? For Rov Nashim, it's Abrov Yoldot. Most women do get pregnant and have children. Miyut Mapilot. And a minority of them miscarry. V'chol HaYoldot Mechtas Chayim Mechtan HaKevot. And anyone who does give birth, half a male, half a female. So what do you have? Smoch Miyut the Mapilot. So you have the minority, Nagid 10% of miscarriages, Lemechtan HaKevot, add that on to the Nagid 45% who give birth to girls. Remember, if the mother-in-law gives birth to a girl, there's still no Yibum, it's only if there's a brother born. So again, if you have 10% of miscarriage, so then of the 90%, 45 are boys, 45 are girls, that means that only 45% is a chance of a living boy, 55 is a chance of something different. And therefore, Velechush Dilma came with Velechush. So now, if it's really a mayor, he should say, well, I've got a 45% possibility that she gave birth to a boy, therefore, you have to be Choshesh. And why does the Mishnah say you're not Choshesh? So it must be that our Mishnah is not Rambeir. No, we defend it. We say, Dilma came on the Ichzaka Lashuk Lo Chayesh. Because once she was already Muchzeket, because after all, when they left with her husband having no brother. And so therefore she was Muchzak as Muteret Lashuk. Once that happens and the word comes back and her husband dies, then we're not going to go as far as to be Choshesh. So even Rambeir may agree in that case. Now, Reisha de Ichzak Liyibum to Yaben. Alright, so now, let's think about the implication of that. You're saying that you're following her chazaka, meaning, what was her status before anybody left town? So in the second case of the Chamot, we say her status was Muteret Lashuk, because she had no brother-in-law. So we stay with that. So how come in the first case, where she had a brother-in-law and a husband, and now the word comes back and the husband dies, why don't we just go with the chazaka and say she should have Yibum and not assume something to have changed in the family structure? The answer is Nachman, I'm Rabbi Ravu, I raise should the Easter Kari Chashashu, say for the Easter Ravu Chashashu. He makes a very simple split. He says, if we have somebody who is not supposed to be with her, if we have somebody who is Muchzeket Liyibum, Muchzeket Bezika, and indeed she does have Yibum, but we were wrong that she's going to be violating a Karet and a Shirach. If on the other hand we have somebody who's Muteret Lashuk, and we were wrong about that, we violate the law of Easter of Yivam Lashuk. So that's why we're more stringent in the case of the Reisha, where we say she can't have Yibum, even though the Chazaka really should militate in its favor. Amar Rava. So Rava has something, he said a few days ago, the same sentiment. This, by the way, is a sentiment that's not shared by many of them, Amoraim, because they do distinguish between the severities of acts, and the severity of the punishment for certain acts, as indicating that that act is more significant. But Rava says, once it's also daraita, what I care if it's a karet or a lav, either way, I should either be choshesh or not be choshesh for the possibility that things have changed and her previous status should not be kept. So Rava has a different explanation why we distinguish, and in the Reisha we don't allow her to have Yibum, but in the Sefer we're not Choshesh. Reisha Chazaka Liyibum Veruba Lashuk. Let's think about the Reisha. In the case of the Reisha, she had a brother-in-law and no children. And therefore her Chazaka was, now if her husband dies, she has Yibum, her Chazaka is Muchzeket Yibum. And now the Rove, on the other hand, is Lashuk, because in most circumstances, that Sarah is going to have a kid, and therefore she'll be potter from the Yibum and Mutzah Lashuk. Now, the Chazaka lo adif kiruba, the Chazaka is not as strong as the Rove. And now remember, if the Tzara does get pregnant, there is a possibility, a small possibility, that she'll miscarry. So, smoch l'chazaka, so take that miut of mapilot, attach it to the chazaka that she was, omer l'yibum, basically you got a 50-50 possibilities here, they knock each other out and she can't move, which means it's equally possible that she is kukal l'yibum, because either the tzara didn't get pregnant, or if she did, she miscarried and lost a child, and this woman was muhzeket liyibum. On the other hand, it's equally possible that she's asura liyibum, because likely that the tzara got pregnant, had a kid, and the two balance each other. The chazaka plus the miut against the rove balance each other out, so that. She can either do even when he's suing. However, Seifa, Chazaka Lashuk Veruba Lashuk. After all, the Chazaka that she had was that she could marry out, because when everything started, she had no brother-in-law. Plus, the Rove is Lashuk, because the Rove is that even if her mother-in-law got pregnant, chances are that she would not have a boy. She may have a girl, and she may have a nephew. And therefore, her robe pushes her in that direction. And so now, Bahavale is Zacharim, Miuta de Miuta. Now, the possibility that the mother-in-law would have Zacharim, it now becomes a Miut of a Miut. And because there's also a Chazaka working against it, a Miuta de Miuta, Lochai Shab Meir. In that case, even her mayor would agree not to be Choshesh. Good. So now, in the Mishnah, we said, Lotan Aser, Lotan Yabem. And we said, Uliolam. Uliolam? The Gemara asks, for how long does this woman have to wait? When she hears that the husband and the tsar went off, the tsar disappears, and the husband is reported as dead, how long does she have to wait before she can marry? Say she can't marry to Yibum now. So Amar Ze'iru La'atzma Shlosha Chodashim. Remember, in a case where a woman herself is a gets a chalitza, let's say, she has to wait 3 months before marrying somebody else to see if she's pregnant. L'chaver Tatisha. And now that we're talking about not the possibility that she's pregnant, but that her co-wife is pregnant, she has to wait 9 months. In other words, we may wait now 9 months. Evidently, we have information about the tzara. And if by the time, 9 months after the time that we heard the husband died, we don't hear about the birth of a child, we assume the tzara didn't have a child, and now she has yibum. Okay, and now the chalitza manafshach, what does she do at the end of 9 months? She does chalitza either way. Meaning, if the woman had yibum, had a child, then this chalitza is unnecessary. If, on the other hand, the woman didn't have a child, then the chalitza releases her. And either way, she can now go marry. Of course, the one caveat is she can't marry a kohen in case the chalitza was a real chalitza. Now, that's the ze'iri. Rabbi Chanina amar la'atzma shlosha l'chaverta le'olam. He says, yeah, for a woman herself, she waits 3 months between one marriage and the next. However, as far as this is concerned, she can never remarry. Why? The Prophet of Shach, why don't we allow her to do what Roziri suggested, which let her have to do Chalitza? Iman of Shach, it's good. They both explain. Because perhaps we'll later find out that the Tzara, 3 years later, we'll find out that the Tzara had a proper kid, a live kid. And then what's going to happen? This woman's Chalitza was nothing, which means she can marry a Kohen. And then we have to publicize that the Chalitza was nothing and she can marry a Kohen. So do that. So maybe there'll be somebody who was there and saw the chalitza, but did not hear about the achrozah. And they're going to come and to the conclusion that a chalitza is allowed to marry a coin because they see somebody that they thought had a chalitza marrying a coin. Now, Tanan, the Talmud ben Natanyam, we have this at the end of the previous parak. If a woman testifies, I went off in the Atayam, and there I had a son. And she left with a husband and no children. And she said, in the Atayam, my son died, I had a son, the son died, and then my husband died. In a minute, we believe her to say that she is now Omeret Liyibum. If she says, my husband died, and then my son died, which would then allow her to the Shuk, in a minute, because that goes against the Chazak of who she was when she left. But we're concerned nonetheless that what she may be saying is true. So why aren't we concerned, if we let her do Chalitza, why aren't we concerned that maybe Edim will come later and just and confirm what she says, which is that her husband died first, then her son, which means this Chalitza was nothing, and she can marry a kohen. And then you have the same problem, that you're going to kuz the kohen, but she will not have, there will be people who were not at the, who were at the chalitza, not at the cruise, and see Mary Cohen, etc. So if you say, Rav Chanina, that we do not allow this woman to ever marry because if she, and we don't give her chalitza in Manav Shach, because if we give her chalitza, and it turns out she didn't need it, and she marries a Cohen, etc., etc., how can you say that? After all, in this case, we do have her do a chalitza. Why aren't you concerned that somebody will come back and say she was right and didn't need the chalitza to marry the coin and there'll be somebody who doesn't know about it? We mock the chalitza on the coin. So our papa, the grusha, our papa says, that case talking about a woman who was already a grusha, which means there's no way she can marry a coin. She's already out of the parish of marry a coin. And therefore, there's no concern. So Rav Huna gives a different answer. And he says, this is talking about a case where the woman testifies that she, her husband, and that newborn son were hiding in a cave and nobody ever saw them. Which means there is no possibility of Edim that are going to come and say, because after all, we're doing everything based on her testimony that those people, that she had a son and he died and the husband died. But the way that she presented the testimony, there's no way that any witnesses could come and testify, therefore nothing's going to change. She'll always be in this state of limbo that we believe, don't believe her, but we're choshesh, etc. And therefore there's never going to be a cruise lakuna. Good. Okay, the next Mishnah, Mishnah Bet. Shtei Yevamot, Zu Omeret Meit Baali, Zu Omeret Meit Baali. So you have two women married to brothers. And they, each one of them, they were on a trip, and they each come back and they said, my husband died. They don't testify about the other man, but they testify about their own husband, that he's dead. Zu Asuram Ne Baalasho Zu, Zu Asuram Ne Baalasho Zu. Here's the conundrum. Woman A comes back and says, my husband A, died. She's believed vis-a-vis husband A. And therefore, and as far as it affects her. And therefore, she could marry out. The problem is that they have no kids, and she has a brother-in-law. Her husband had a brother. And now, woman B, in the meantime, is coming and saying, husband B, that brother died, but that statement doesn't affect woman A, and vice versa. So therefore, woman A cannot marry because of the possibility that husband B is still alive, and vice versa. Now, let's riff off of that statement. Luzu edim uluzu ein edim. Let's say that one of the women comes and says, my husband died and have witnesses. And she has witnesses, and the other one doesn't have witnesses. Strange enough, that she yeshta edim asura. The one who has witnesses is asura. Because the witnesses confirm what she says about her husband, but we got no testimony that she can use about her brother-in-law. He may still be alive. The one who doesn't have witnesses, she can marry out, because after all, her own report helps her insofar as we believe that her husband's dead vis-a-vis her. And the Edim testify that her brother-in-law is dead. She's free to go. Luzu banim uluzu ein banim. Let's say one has sons and one doesn't have sons. It's easy. We're going back to our first case, of course, where each woman comes and says, my husband died. The one who has sons is muter. The one who doesn't have sons is asura. Now, let's say there are two other brothers, brothers C and D. And so the wives, A and B, had yibum with C and D. Umeitu ha'yivamin, asurot minasei. And now let's say C and D died. They're still asurot to get married, because again, the each one's original, A and B, might still be alive vis-a-vis the opposite wife. In other words, A is dead as far as Mrs. A is concerned. But as far as Mrs. B is concerned, A might be alive, and therefore, they're still a living brother somewhere. Reza disagrees and says, since we were matching these women to the Avan, to C and D, therefore we say that now we are assured, or we're accepting that the A and B are both dead, and they can now marry out. Good, so now the Mishnah, the Gemara expands on this. It says, Tana lezu edim ubanim, uluzu lo edim v'lo banim. Let's say one of the wives, in our case, has a din that testified that her husband died, but she also has sons. Well, if she has sons, right away she's mutera. The other one has no witnesses, but she also has no sons. But stand with Tarot, because the one without witnesses, remember, her own testimony has her husband dead, and the other wife has a din. And so therefore, both men are dead as far as she's concerned. So the fact that she doesn't have sons doesn't get in the way. Now, that's the quote of the end of the Mishnah. So Rabbi asked, my time Rabbi Lazar, why does Rabbi Lazar say what he says at the end? That since these women are mutter to marry the Yavamin, they're now mutter to everybody once the Yavamin die. Because he disagrees with the entire premise of our Mishnah, which is that a tzara can testify on behalf of her co-wife, or another wife who's involved. And therefore, the testimony of woman A about her husband also becomes true vis-a-vis woman B. Or maybe it's because a woman who acts based on testimony in a way that if the testimony was false would endanger her, we have to accept that it's true, and therefore it can be true for everybody. Right? So what's the difference between those two approaches? To let the tzara marry before this woman herself marries. In other words, a woman comes back from Dinat Hayam and says, my husband died. Question is, can the tzara marry before this woman marries? If you hold that Rabbi Lazar holds, that a tzara can be made for her co-wife. Even though the original wife who testified didn't yet marry, we can allow the tzara to marry. Or if it's the opposite way that you say, the other way that you say, the reason that we believe her in this case is because she's not going to mess herself up. In other words, once we see that she marries based on this testimony, we can tell that she really knows that the husband is dead. In that case, in Inseed Manasbinin Ma Latzara, Elo Inseed Lo Manasbinin Ma. If this woman actually marries based on her own testimony, then we allow the tzara to marry. If not, not. So what? How do we understand Rabbi Elazar? My Toshua, Rabbi Elazar Merhu, which will leave Aminu, to the Choladam. We quote Rabbi Elazar at the end of our Mishnah. It says, since they became mutar to other men, they became mutar adam. In other words, since the woman acted based on her own testimony, therefore we believe that it's true, because she wouldn't mess herself up. So it's the second direction. Right? It's since, if we take the approach that she's, I mean, not that she's necessarily got credibility that affects her tzara, but since she won't endanger herself, and therefore, it's only because she already married the Yavam that we say her testimony about her husband must have been true. But if it's because a woman can testify for a co-wife, then it should even be that she didn't necessarily have to have Yibum with C. She should be believed according to Rabbi Elazar, even in the Reisha, about for her other wife. You shouldn't have to wait until she marries based on that testimony to allow the other wife to use that testimony. So we see that Rabbi Elazar's reason is because by marrying, she demonstrated, because she wouldn't hurt herself, she demonstrated that what she said was really being true. But not because we blanket believe her, Megabe Tzarata. The answer is actually no. Rabbi Elazar would be very machad ka'amar lahu. And as Rabbi Elazar was responding in his wording at the end of the Mishnah, and he used to silence at the beginning of the Mishnah because he was responding to Rabbana. Meaning, with Didi, according to me, Tzara me'idu l'chadrata, I think a Tzara could testify for her co-wife. And therefore, even if the Tzara, if the wife doesn't marry yet, we can marry the Tzara off. But you guys, you Rabbanan, at least you should agree with me that if the wife does marry, the Tzara can marry. She's not going to hurt herself. So what did Rabbanan answer? We think that a woman is going to testify falsely that her husband is dead just to mess the tzara up, even though she herself will suffer along with her, just as Shimshon died when he brought the building down and the temple of Dagon and killed all the Plishtim and Algon himself. So Toshma, Isha Shalcha, Hiu Valim Dinatayim Vavra Mame Pali, Tinasev Titok Tubata, the Tzarata Asura. Rabbi Elazar Omer, Hutra Nami Tzarata. So we see that here's a braita in which we take an earlier Mishnah that says when a woman comes to Niyatayam and says her husband died, she can marry, she can collect the tzubah, and her tzara can't do any of that. And Rabbi Elazar disagrees and says once she became mutar, the tzara is mutar, which makes it sound that as if Rabbi Elazar takes the position that we believe her about the tzara, she doesn't have to marry. Ema hora v'hutra v'niseit. No, maybe what it means is, since she was muteret and she married based on that, then we're going to believe her. Wait a second. Maybe, even if you accept Rabbi Elazar's principle that a woman will not testify and thereby endanger herself, then therefore once she marries, we see that it's really a valid testimony. Who says? Maybe secretly she got a get, and she's coming back and saying the husband's dead, and now she can go marry somebody else. But she can really marry somebody else because she got a get. So and so maybe she said the husband's dead, so that the tzara will go marry somebody else, the husband will show up, and then she'll be aftzaras. In the meantime, she can marry somebody else because she has a get. So either into the Yisrael chinami, you're right, if she married Yisrael, that would be the case. Our case is where she marries a kohen, and therefore it's clear she's not a grusha. And because we accept the principle that she's not going to mess herself up just to hurt her tzara, that's Rabbi Elazar's shita, therefore she's believed that the tzara can also marry. So, everyone should have a wonderful day, and we will get to our penultimate podcast of Masechet Yevamot in the next opportunity.